Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The War Between Light and Darkness.
God's grace and His mercy, as peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the great war between light and darkness. And this is a great war that seems to be amping up in our days, doesn't it? You know, it's certainly an ancient battle that's gone on from the beginning, the fall, but it seems to be on the increase in our days. We see the battle between light and darkness taking place in the social realms, in our culture, even in entertainment and sports. You see the battle being waged. You see the battle going on in churches, light versus darkness in the various places. You see it certainly in politics and the media, light versus darkness. You see it in people's personal lives and spiritual lives. We can almost palpably feel the pressing in of this war, can't you? The intimidation, almost a spirit of bullying and threatening, as darkness seems to want to wax bold, but light is also shining the brighter. A great locking of horns, a great battle, a war between the light and the darkness. And so today I'd like to talk with you about what God tells us in His scriptures about this battle, light versus darkness. Who wins? What kind of confidence and encouragement can we have in Christ as we go through our days and our times when these things seem to be amping up? What can we say of light versus darkness? Well, first of all, we know this is at the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, you see light and darkness in the natural realms first mentioned. For in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. Notice He prefers light to darkness, even though they're both good at this time, because it's His creation. The light was called good, the darkness, He didn't say anything about it. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. So in the beginning, these are both good, although light by far is preferred. But, you know, I enjoy the sunshine in the morning, don't you? Especially after a long night and that sea, and you see the sun come up over the horizon, and everything's beautiful and bright. And then on land, the birds are chirping and singing, and it feels so warm, and it's brilliant, and it's life-giving to the world, light. I like the darkness, too, in the natural realms, because I like to see a silvery sea when the moon comes up over the water. It makes it into like a silver puddle. And you can look at the brilliance of the stars, which reminds us of the majesty of God. So in the natural realms, both light and darkness are good, though light is by far preferred. But when it comes to the spiritual realms, we must know that both are not good. Light is good, darkness is evil, according to God's word. Light is right, everything good and right. Darkness is sin. Light is actually joy and all the good things that are felt in light. Darkness is fear, fear. Light is life, darkness is death. Light is of God and darkness is of the devil. And the Bible teaches us that there is a kingdom of light. That's Christ's kingdom. But there's also a dominion of darkness called the devil's kingdom. And these two have been locking horns since the beginning. They fight it out. They war. There is a great battle and it's been amping up, I think, especially in our days, such that it's everywhere felt by everyone. Now, who's who in this battle? Who is the light? God, right? This is a wonderful message that I hope you take great cheer in right here at the start. That this is something John, the apostle, says in his letter. He heard it straight from the Lord, Jesus, who ought to know. He says, this is the message we've heard from him, says John. We've heard it straight from Jesus and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Isn't that a word of good cheer for you this morning in the midst of the battle? That your God, who has all power and rules with perfect might, is 100% pure light. There's nothing wrong, unrighteous, or dark in him at all. Perfect, pure light. James calls him the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Paul says in one of his letters that God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. Who also is light and pure light? Jesus Christ, you know that. Jesus, when he came, remember, said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is 100% pure, perfect goodness, royalty, power, righteousness, and he, if you were to see him in heaven right now, he shines brighter than 1,000 suns. His glory is so great. He's perfect, pure light. His angels, who are his army, are the army of light on our side, praise God. Remember today, who's on your side in this fight if you get a little afraid? Remember, there was a great earthquake at Jesus' resurrection, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone and sat upon it, and his appearance was like lightning. Can you picture that? And his raiment, his clothing, white as snow. So the angels are sort of like eagles, creatures of the day and of the sky, of great power, and they're on our side. Who is the light in the world? Huh?
We are,
right, Michael? Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill that can't be hid. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So am I looking out on stars this morning? Yes. On suns shining in your pews? How brilliant you are in God's eyes and ours. Christians are the light of the world. And amazingly, we've got something else in this room that's light. What is that? A book of light. The Bible, God says, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 119 says, the unfolding of thy words gives light. So when it's read, when it's believed, when it's preached, light is just shining and shooting forth from the pulpit, from the book, into our eyes to illumine us and to make clear our way. And actually, there is therefore also a path of light, according to scriptures. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So, there is a path of light that the Christians walk. And what is that? It's freedom. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way. It is walking in love to God, in truth, and in love to our neighbor. Because John the Apostle says this in his letter, 1 John 2:11. He says, but he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there's no cause for stumbling. Do you know how blessed you are to have the light of his word? You can walk straight, good, and clean through this world and not fall or trip or stumble over what people walking in darkness will stumble over all the time to their ruin. We have a tough life, but it's a good life. It's straight and sure as Christians. We have light. So on the opposing side, who do we have? We have the kingdom of light on God's side. We have the kingdom of darkness on the opposing side. That's the devil's kingdom. And what is darkness according to the Bible?
The opposite of light.
sin, absence of life. What else?
Absence of God.
Absence of God. Wherever God is not, there is darkness, because where he is, light is shining. If you think of it, darkness is sin in the Bible. Wickedness, unbelief is darkness. Lies, adultery, murder, every evil. And it covers all of the earth. This is a very powerful kingdom. It's very cold. It's very dark. It's very fear-filled and wicked. It is a dominion of darkness. It's found in the upper echelon, unseen places. Do you know that the devil led a third of the angels into rebellion against God? And what did they become? They left their proper place as angels of light, and they turned into shadowy creatures of the night. Wicked locusts and scorpions and snakes they became. They are principalities, powers, and world rulers of this present darkness, says Paul in Ephesians 6. The spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Can you picture what they might look like? Foul fiends, foul creatures, bats maybe. Wicked creatures in darkness in the upper places. And they are very powerful at work in our world today. We feel it, we see it. And it that same dominion of darkness is cast over the earth. Over mankind, at one time over all mankind, now only over those who are unbelievers. Christians are in the light, but the unbelievers are in darkness. There are those, Proverbs 2 says, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing right, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And Proverbs 4 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Can you picture that? When I was in Maine one time, and I was up on a mountain, and I came down and I spent a little time with a friend of mine on top of this 10-foot tall boulder. We looked up at the stars and the night was falling over the forest and we didn't realize it. When we got up to leave, we didn't realize that darkness had fallen. And we lifted up, put our hands in front of our faces, and we couldn't see a thing because the clouds had rolled in. We were still a mile through the wilderness and had to climb down from this boulder and stumble in the darkness and go on hands and crawl out of the woods because darkness had blinded our eyes. That's what it is to be an unbeliever, to not have the unfolding of the word of this book to illumine the way. Whereas you and I have the light, a torch, a flashlight, a bright beaming sun before us to say, I know where I'm going. And darkness is a very dread and evil thing. It is deathly. I could share the story of Chip, got his permission. When some years ago, Chip was just telling me last week that he went cave diving. Would you do such a thing? Cave diving under the water in his, with his scuba tank. He went down. He was at 185 feet deep in the caverns of darkness with his light, and guess what happened? His light went out, and all of a sudden he was plunged into pitch. Hand in front of the face, couldn't see a blooming thing. It was total pitch darkness. And the darkness was not only cold and icy with the pressure of the water upon him, but it filled and flooded his body and soul too, because he knew that meant certain death. There's no way out of that dark cave underwater at 185 feet without light. How long did he wrestle like this? 5 minutes. Nowhere to go, no, and running out of air, mind you, until a moment of hope appeared when a diver at a distance passed with a light, and he swam, believe me, for his life. Grabbed hold of that diver who had a hold on the rope to the surface, who had the light, and that light, that diver, brought him up to freedom where he could breathe and see the light again and live in the joy of life. How about a story like that, huh? And he came up when he only had seconds of air left by the time he arrived at the service, and he told me on the phone just a few days ago, he said, "Pastor, anyone who wants to become a certified cave diver is certifiable." Never do that again. I share the story because we got to know how thick and dread and devilish this darkness is. This is no joke. And at one time, we were all swimming in darkness. We were dead, says the Bible, through the trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? The prince of darkness. And so we were under the dominion of darkness, all of us as Christians, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were, as it were, thousands of feet down with columns of water upon us and rocks above us and no way to find our way out if light did not shine. And yet, God, says the Bible, in his great mercy and his love for you, sent someone to you with light, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 9 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And on those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. One swam by us with a torch, burning himself with the shining of sun from heaven, Jesus Christ. And he fought the battle for us. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And have the light of heaven actually come inside of you so that you now shine and see God, see Jesus, see the truth, see the way, see salvation, know the path to freedom and to life above. That's what he did for us, but it was not an easy battle. Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers in the temple of the temple and the elders when they came out against him at night, he said, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day by day after day after day in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me, but this is your hour and," who knows it, "the power of darkness." So what a wicked power the devil has. This is no joke. It is a fierce kingdom. You can feel it today. The forcing of the rush of darkness over the wide earth. But I'll tell you, the light shines in the darkness, says the scripture. That's Jesus. And the darkness has not overcome it. With all the might of the dominion of darkness, one man, Jesus, the light of the world, the prince of heaven, triumphed over the darkness. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. And listen to these great words for your encouragement from the scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul says, "God's now through Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So there is a word being preached to you right now. Jesus died for you and rose again. That is light that will bring you to eternal light in the kingdom of God, actually into his kingdom. God told Paul when he sent him out, "I send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know him as the truth? Then the light is in you. It is said, it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," in the beginning, who has now shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, says Paul. So the gospel that's preached is not something to be skipped. Hear it. It is bringing to you light that will bring you to the surface. It'll bring you fresh air and joy forever. "Once you were darkness," says Paul, "but now you're light in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. We're not creatures of the evening, but of the morning. We wear the armor of light." And this is one of my favorites. Let's read this one. Colossians 1, verse 12 says, of Colossians 1, "He has delivered us," the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. "He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So there is a great war between light and darkness. What do we need to do to fight in this war and beat the darkness? Simply be light, right? All you have to do to get rid of a dark room is turn the light switch on. It flees at the power and presence of the light. It's not even a match. But we've got to put the light, make sure it's illumined brightly in us. You're in the right place. Come to church, right? This is where you're going to hear the unfolding of the word of the scriptures. Read the word at home. Dress yourselves for battle with the armor of light, the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and the sword, as the scriptures teach us, and be together as Christians. So many Christians this very year, as the battle grows thick, they've disappeared from churches. They are in grave danger of their lights going out. We need to be together that our lights shine brightly. We're battling against darkness in our flesh, right? We still have that. Not in our spirit, but in our bodies, we still have sinful desires. We have to war against those. The devil and all of his hosts have been pressing on us, I believe this year, especially with a bullying effect. Threatening, trying to make you afraid. Don't let him do it. Just bring that to the light of God. Fear will be dispelled by the joy of the light. And we see this battle in the world. We've seen it in churches. There are the true preachers and those who preach life and those who preach traditional marriage and that the Bible is without error and Jesus is the only way. That's the light. Amen. May I be light to you.
Amen.
There are those preachers of darkness who preach abortion, same-sex marriage, that the Bible is full of errors and Jesus is just a way amongst many. That is darkness. And who turned the lights out in Christian churches, right? There are certain churches you go to these days that even worship in darkness with strobe lights and heavy rock music and mists pouring. I just got to say, maybe that's not entirely wrong, but it's kind of wrong. Because why are Christians worshiping in darkness? We are people of the light. We see it in culture. We see the battle even in the sports. Who's going to kneel? Who's going to stand? Light, darkness. We see it in, in politics. My goodness, it used to be the two sides seemed kind of similar. Now, one side is for life of babies. One side is for the murder of babies. One side is for law and order. The other side is for lawlessness. One side is for the freedom of Christians to worship. The other side is trying, as you can see in the news, shutting down churches and shutting churches up. So there's that battle, and we see it in an election. One side wants fair, everything in the light, open, observed. The other side says, no, let's keep this in the darkness. You can't see what we're doing behind closed doors, behind cardboard, lost USB drives, wiped servers, disappearing ballots, things being done in darkness. I'm sure you've seen with Dominion voting machines that employees that were associated with Dominion, as soon as all this stuff started coming to light, they deserted LinkedIn and they were wiping their accounts so that they couldn't be tracked. Dominion officials refused to show up to hearings. They didn't want to come into the light. Offices were closed in Toronto and I think Denver. Why, I ask, would you run for cover if you did what you did in the light? But if you did what you did in darkness and evil, then that is why you would run. We read this in Scripture, everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. You got to wonder when YouTube, Twitter, Facebook are blacking out truth, testimonies. Why cover things in darkness if it's true? I mean, if the things that are done there can come to light and you're in the right, why would you be covering it up in darkness? And I just got to say about this Dominion. Don't you think that's, I don't know, kind of a strange name for a fair-minded voting machine? Dominion. I mean, wouldn't you think it'd be like red, white, and blue. But dominion, that's like almost, I was telling Beth, it's like someone applying to shepherd sheep and saying, hi, yeah, and I'd like to shepherd your sheep for you. My name is John Wolf. Yes, middle name Savage. Nice to meet you, Mr. Wolf. Dominion. Dominion, have you not heard this word so far, thus preached in the sermon? Dominion. What do we hear? God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. But we see a battle, a war, a locking of horns in our day. So I want to ask this question, who's going to win? And what should be the attitude of our hearts as soldiers of light? I'll tell you, God is so abundantly clear in this. Don't be afraid. You are light. They are darkness. All the power is with you. Because I'm with you, and wherever light is, darkness just has to run away. You've got to know today, and God sent me to preach to you today, the power that's at work in you is beyond reason. It's beyond, it's insurmountable. It is beyond explanation. The power that is on your side. Don't be afraid. Just live in the light. It'll dispel fear. It'll dispel evil. And you will stand. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you want to think of it this way, all of history from the fall to now has been one long night of sin, a dark night. But already we have seen in the sky the morning star has appeared, Jesus Christ, heralding the coming of the morning. Already we have seen the preachers, sort of like birds, up here chirping from the pulpit, heralding the coming of morning, and they're preaching louder and greater, the coming of day, the coming of day. And I'll tell you, you conquer today, but there is a last blast of cold I always found when I slept outside in my youth, putting on just clothes. I'd lay down on some dirt somewhere when I was traveling. There was always a last rush of cold just before sunrise. And it would always wake me up. I couldn't sleep through it. There's going to be a last rush of cold, I want you to know, before the end of the world. But the birds are chirping. The morning star is in the sky. And this last rush of cold is only because the sun is up coming over the horizon and pushing the darkness such that it gets a little colder for a time. But very soon, very quickly, the light of the sun will break over that eastern horizon. I'm talking about the Son of God coming down from heaven. And he's going to bring us the light of day forever. So you have so much to be encouraged about today. Don't be afraid of darkness. The power, the light, God, Jesus, the angels are with you. And the armor of God will keep you. And when Christ comes, the wicked, the evil of angels and men will be cast into the outer darkness, away from God, where they will weep and gnash their teeth. But you, O sons of light and sons of the day, will rule in the warmth of day, in the brightness of the kingdom of his light forever. For it is written, the Lord God will be their light. They shall reign. They shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The War Between Light and Darkness, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.